You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week, we hear the story of George Bevis, founder and CEO of the innovative fintech company Tide, which is on a mission to revolutionize banking for small business. This week, George shares his story.
When I was a student, it was an exciting time. I started as an undergraduate when Tony Blair just won his election and there was whole Cool Britannia mood in the air. And so much as students always think they're going to change the world, I think my generation had a particularly strong sense of the utter inevitability of all of us changing all aspects of humanity. And while as a student, I did a lot of stuff in student politics and I thought a lot about potentially having a career in politics. But I also graduated in 2000 when the dot-com bubble was at its peak. Actually, at the point that I left university, I'd already started a little startup at that point. My immediate view was that I was going to be doing dot-com entrepreneurship. Sadly, the dot-com bubble had its own history to it, and so did that little venture. It was like a very early Facebook, but with the unfortunate failing that nobody actually had digital cameras in those days. So whereas Facebook grew off the back of people checking each other out at university, checking people out when they're just text profiles wasn't quite so exciting. So we tried doing this startup in 2000 and did a reasonable fist of it, given that it was a very different time. There's no real support around for young entrepreneurs then like there is now, and it wasn't going anywhere. So eventually I had to cave in and get a proper job like everyone else. No, to be honest, I was very sad about doing it. I mean, the company I went to was a good company and I got a good training, but it definitely wasn't what I wanted to be doing. So my career essentially has three elements to it, all of which are relevant. So I started out with Capital One, the American retail bank. After that, at different times, I was strategy director at Barclaycard for business and product director at Zopa, the P2P lending business. I also ran innovation for Worldpay, worked for RBS. So I've done my time. The second side is that I've been an entrepreneur repeatedly in both for-profit and not-for-profit initiatives. So I'd experienced a lot of those pain points that entrepreneurs suffer with lots of times over. And the third part is that I've done a lot on public policy relating to small business. So in 2012, I wrote the British Labour Party's main book on small business policy. In 2014, I created their network of a few hundred digital professionals. So if you put those three things together, which is a pretty kind of weird mix, and it wouldn't really add up to anyone else's career in the world, but actually, for me, it made it completely obvious that I would go and start Tide. So, you know, as the entrepreneur, I'd experience all of these admin miseries. As the banker, I felt like I knew how to fix the problem. And from a public policy perspective, I had a very strong sense of the national and indeed international need for somebody to go and fix them. So the kind of overarching statement is that people who run small businesses don't set up those businesses because they want to do admin, but they end up spending a lot of their time doing admin. So the big pain point is admin. There's lots of subsets of that. It could be the admin in doing all of your bookkeeping. You know, most small businesses have this kind of regular back and forth with their accountant about what was this transaction, what was that transaction, where's the invoice, where's the receipt, all of that misery. Then there's hassles in if you've got suppliers overseas, paying them. If you've got customers in the UK, getting them to pay you. If you have staff, making sure that you've got a payroll around them sorted out in the right ways, or getting access to credit for your business, or sending out invoices. I mean, there's lots of different areas of this stuff, all of which is exceptionally tedious and none of which is what people get into business to do. Most of the processes that small businesses have to undergo are very diverse, and they're not things that anyone does in their normal life. So nobody without creating a business would ever have to send someone else an invoice. Most people don't know how to create an invoice. I suspect that the most popular invoicing software in the world is probably Microsoft Word, because the act of doing it in any other sort of software would seem so unnatural, etc. So there's lots of unusual and painful experiences that people have to do they wouldn't otherwise have to suffer. Tide's name is about the fact that it was obvious to me that there was a tide of fantastic fintech which small businesses genuinely should use but typically didn't use because they hadn't heard of them. And of course, there's another tide of entrepreneurship. There is more entrepreneurship in the UK and other Western countries than there's ever been before. And so it felt obvious that Tide was uniting those potential users of services with the services that they should be using. The key moment came around 4 years ago when there was a business in the States called Simple.com that had appeared that was a bit like, in the UK, Monzo for consumers. It was a consumer-facing bank challenger. And cleverly, they had managed to invent an infrastructure for delivering that without themselves being a bank. They were essentially just a software layer and a brand on top of someone else's regulated banking infrastructure. And that was quite a breakthrough moment. They were the first people in the world to do that. I thought for some time that somebody ought to go and fix business banking, but it had always appeared to everyone, including me, that it was too expensive to do a startup in that space, until Simple.com had proven that actually you could do that if you separated out the experience from the regulated bit. And in fact, it seemed to me to be dazzlingly obvious that there was very little question. The question was only about whether or not you could execute this, but if you could, there was no question that people would find it extremely useful. Step one was to find a banking sector partner. And at the point that I started the journey, I didn't know that we could get one at all. I didn't know that there was a company who could do that for us in the UK. The one we eventually found is a business called PPS that nobody's heard of, but they're jointly owned by MasterCard, a massive French multi-billion dollar organization. So they are a kind of very stable blue chip. But even I, with all my years in banking, had never heard of them. And while I was negotiating with them on the terms of the agreement we would have, I was obviously trying to maintain the sense that we had other options, but the truth is I wasn't aware that we had any. So London is still the best place in the world to start and run a fintech. So I don't think it was ever any real consideration given to doing it somewhere else. Just about every fintech you want to do business with is nearby, often within walking distance of our office. There's lots of talent here. There's talent that's worked in banking, and for us that can be quite useful. So there was no reason to consider operating from anywhere else. We are planning on being an international business next year, meaning we'll be servicing members throughout lots of different countries. And that inevitably makes us think a bit less as rooted in one country, but rather servicing an international member base from whichever geography is the right place to service them from. Tide is actually less stressful than other startups I've been involved with. We've always been well-financed in comparison with any other business I've ever been involved in. The fundamental economics of the business are strong, so we already make money on our members' activity today. Lots of startups have negative margins, and that's a horrible place to be in, but we're not in that place. We have a fantastic culture where in the last 2 years, we've never had a disciplinary issue with an employee or anything like that. So to be honest, this one is easy. Some of the previous businesses I've been involved in have been much more traumatic. In Tide, between employees numbers 1 and 2, I wrote a document with a list of all of the behaviours that our staff should exude. And we actually recently just went through a processing of editing that. It turned out I'd been a bit wordy and I had 13 before, and actually it could all be expressed in 8, so we've edited it down. But all of the fundamental requirements have stayed the same, and that's worked. So the reason why we haven't had a disciplinary in all this time is because we set the parameters for the sorts of people we want to bring into the company and the sort of behaviours we expect from them. And when everyone understands those and they're very clear, it's much easier to maintain a culture over time. So there's no question that we have to think about how we iterate it, how we continue to live those behaviours at greater scale. I'm not currently worried about it. I'm just aware that there's things we have to do. I think you can build a business with a great product and a crappy culture up to a certain level of size and scale, but I don't think you can build one of the world's great businesses if you don't build a great culture.
Thanks to George Bevis from Tide. This show is edited by Kieran Banerjee. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.